Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Counselors and staff and family and friends and just a lot of people that I love are in this building tonight, and I'm so happy to be here with you. It's been a while since I've been able to preach before a congregation. It's been a little over a year with all that's been going on with our family in the last year. And I'm just really excited to be able to do something that I love tonight with a lot of people that I love and with a lot of folks who have loved my family. If you've got your Bibles, you can open them to Revelation 21. Revelation 21 is where we'll spend most of our time this evening as we spend just a few minutes together thinking about why everybody wants to go to heaven. I guess it was about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, that was often on the radio that said, everybody wants to go, but nobody wants to go now. Whenever I heard that, they don't want to go now. So I think it's an accurate description. But I would always change the radio station because I didn't think it was the correct attitude. So I kind of felt a little bad listening to it. But I'll admit to you, about a year ago, that I want my family to go to heaven, but I wasn't ready for us to go then. You see, all we really have to do tonight, take just a few moments and think about why everybody wants to go to heaven. As we do this, as we think about a few different reasons why we want to go to heaven, I'd like for us to start with the lesser of those reasons and make our way to the greatest reason why everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven in the first place because of its beauty. Everybody wants to go to heaven because of what it looks like. There's the old preacher story. When you hear me say preacher story, that means I probably think it's fake. But there's the old preacher story that I've heard several times in my life. But it was about a young boy who they say was born blind. He'd grown up and his mother... And as the story goes, right. So he went to the hospital and he had the surgery. And for a few days after the surgery, his eyes were wrapped up with bandages. And as she had always done, his mother stood at the window and described to him all the beautiful things that she could see out the window. She talked to him about the green grass and the beautiful sunshine. She even talked to him about some mountains she could see way off in the distance. The doctor came in a few days later and removed the bandages, and sure enough, he's able to see. First thing he wants to do is he wants to experience all of these things that he's heard described to him. He goes to the window and looks out. He wants to see the green grass and the sunshine and the mountains. But the first thing he says to his mother is, "Why didn't you tell me it was so beautiful?" And she said, "I tried." And I think that's how preachers feel when we preach about heaven. We try our best, but we know we're not doing an adequate job of it. I wonder if John felt like that. But when we get there, we might be like that little boy and just say, "Why didn't you tell us it was so beautiful?" Or maybe it'll be like the account in 1 Kings 10 of the Queen of Sheba. She had heard all the great exaggerations, or what she thought was exaggerations, of Solomon's wisdom, of Solomon's kingdom, of his servants, of his land, of all of his great possessions. So she went to check it out for herself. And after she had seen that it was all true, she said, "The half wasn't told to me." We try our best to describe heaven, but maybe when we get there, what we're really going to say is, "The half wasn't told to us." I love John, how John starts off talking about his vision in Revelation 21. He tells us that heaven's more beautiful than a bride on her wedding day. If you've experienced that day, especially men, if you've looked down the aisle and seen your wife-to-be coming down the aisle in that white dress, you know that's the most beautiful thing you've seen on this earth. Revelation 21:2, "And I saw the whole prepared for her husband." You go on down to verse 9, John spoke with angels and they said, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." So John gets this opportunity to look in, to have a preview, to have a vision, and to try to describe to us what heaven's going to look like. And the first thing that jumps out at me is in verse 11. He says, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. You going down to verse 23, he continues that thought. He says, it's going to be brightness all day long. Verses 15 through 17, he looks in and he's amazed. He says that the king, he looks in and sees the kingdom of heaven. It's so large, he can't comprehend it with the measurements of earth, with the measurements of men. There, it's so enormous. Lord, there's always going to be a vacancy for just one more soul. A few weeks ago, I was talking with someone about our newest mission work in Arizona, the new church plant in Phoenix that we're going to begin next month. And I was talking about how I really want to go out there and visit next March, because my first love is the work of the church, but also I love some Chicago Cubs baseball, and they play spring training out there in March. I thought how great this would be if I can go do some church work as well as see a baseball game. And and this guy told me, he said, well, you better go ahead and make your reservations now. Because he'd been out there a few years ago during the month of March. He told me how he arrived without any hotel reservations, thought it'd be just easy to go find a room. He described to me how everybody just laughed at him when he'd walk in a hotel and tell him that he didn't have a room. He ended up having to drive 3 hours away to find a hotel room. Heaven's not going to be like that. John says it's so enormous, there's always going to be a vacancy. There's always going to be room for you and me, and there's always going to be room for just one more. As he looks in this vision, takes a sneak peek, a preview into heaven, and tries to describe it to us. In verse 18, he talks about seeing a city that was just pure gold. He looks in and sees streets of gold. Verses 18 through 21, he looks in, he's amazed at the walls that are surrounding the kingdom. He sees walls of jasper. He sees walls with the foundations of the walls that have every kind of precious jewel you can imagine are in those foundations. Maybe the most remarkable thing is down in verse 27, that he sees a kingdom that's spotless. There's no trash on the ground. There's no graffiti on the side of buildings. Nothing dirty, nothing defiled, nothing unclean had ever entered into it. Everybody wants to go to heaven because of its indescribable beauty. It's going to be the most amazing thing we've ever seen. We try our best here to describe it, but the half hasn't been told to us. But really, a lot of times we hear sermons, we hear classes and teachings about the beauty of heaven, but that's the least of the reasons why we want to go to heaven. Maybe even more greater than that is everybody wants to go to heaven because of what is not there. I want to go to heaven because there's not any death there. There's not any sorrow there. There's no pain there. There's no crying there. If you've ever lost anybody, you've probably found your way to Revelation 21:4 and found great comfort there, where he says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Sometimes it seems like all we're doing in this life is just trying to outrun death. We go to the gym, we get out and run, we get out and walk, we try our best to maintain a healthy diet, we go to the doctor when we're sick, we're doing all of these things to prolong our life. And I'm for all of those things. But when you really think about it, there's only one place where death's not going to catch up with us. And that's going to be in heaven, because death doesn't exist there. I want to go to heaven because there's not going to be any aging there. When you look in the mirror, there's not going to be any wrinkles. There's not going to be any dementia. You'll be able to keep all of your memories. It's going to be a place where nothing will ruin, nothing will rot, nothing will rust. I want to go to heaven because it's going to be a place where there is no cancer. It's going to be a place where there is no heart attacks, where there's no AIDS, any disease you can think about. I want to go to heaven because there's not going to be any hospitals. There's not going to be any ICU rooms. There's not going to be any graves. There's not going to be any divorce. There's not going to be any spousal abuse. There's not going to be any child abuse. I want to go to heaven because there's not going to be any orphans. No children are going to have to grow up without their parents. There's not going to be any widows. It's going to be a place where everybody is clothed, has shelter and food and water and love, and God's going to provide everything that's needed. So I want to go to heaven because those things are not going to exist there. But also we want to go there because sin's not going to exist in heaven. Verse 8 of Revelation 21, John gives a whole list of things that are not going to list there, not going to exist there. Sometimes I hear folks talk about their past, and I think they really have an incorrect view about sin. Sometimes folks talk about the past like those are the good old days. Talk about the crazy things they did when they were younger, the sinful things that they did. It makes me feel really awkward because I'm ashamed of the things that I've done. And sometimes I hear folks take the sins that they enjoy in this life, and when I hear them talk about heaven, I think they really don't understand heaven either, because they think, wow, sin's fun here on earth, but heaven's just going to be kind of boring. They kind of think, well, man, it's just going to be like one really long worship service. But that's not true. I believe God created enjoyment. I believe God created excitement. I believe God created fun. He gave us taste buds. He gave us nerve endings. He gave us adrenaline. He gave us acceptable ways to enjoy this life to its fullest. So if I believe that God gave us all of that in this life, then it's easy to believe that heaven's going to be exciting. Heaven's going to be fun. It's going to be enjoyable. It's going to be more fulfilling than anything that we've ever experienced in this life. But if you look at Revelation 21, verse 8, you've got this whole listing of things that are not going to exist in heaven. He says there's not going to be any cowards or unfaithful people there. There's not going to be anyone there who's unwilling to stand up for Jesus. There's not going to be anyone there who's afraid to talk to their friends about their faith. He says there's not going to be any detestable or murderous people. There's not going to be any sexually immoral people there, whether that's premarital, extramarital, homosexual, any kind of devious sexual immorality you can think of, it's not going to exist there. There won't be any sorcerers. Maybe the idea behind that word is more like mind-altering things that cause nothing but pain and destruction in this world. There won't be any drugs. There won't be any alcohol. There won't be any of those things that alter us. No idolaters. So nobody's going to be there that loves something of this world more than God. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. Maybe some folks don't want to go now because they love this world more than they love God. There won't be any liars there. You know, the Bible tells us that Satan's the biggest liar that there's ever been. He's a liar that's not going to be there. 1 Timothy 3:6 and 2 Peter 2:4, you put those two scriptures together, it kind of gives you the idea that maybe heaven was once his home, but he was evicted. So Satan, he's a liar, he's bitter, he's jealous, he's upset that you and I, we're going to get to enjoy a home that he's been kicked out of. As I read through lists like this in Revelation 21:8, though, I can't help but think, I used to fit into some of those categories. Probably every one of us, at some point, we fit into some of those categories of people who are not going to be in heaven. But the good news is that we have hope. You see, over in 1 Corinthians 6, there's also another listing there of all of these different sins, different things that are not going to exist in heaven. But in 1 Corinthians 6:11, he says, "And such were some of you." That's the way you were, but not now, because now you've been washed and sanctified and justified by our Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. So there's hope for us if we're willing to repent, if we're willing to be washed of those things. Everybody wants to go to heaven because there's not going to be any death or sorrow or pain or crying. Everybody wants to go to heaven because sin and Satan are not going to be there. But again, the beauty of heaven, the things that are not going to be there, those are, again, the lesser of the reasons why we want to go to heaven. I heard a preacher once talking about the beauty of heaven. He said the streets could be made of mud, the weeds could be grown up past his knees, the walls could be made out of cardboard, but we'd still want to go there because of who's there. The greatest reason why we want to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven because of who is there. You know, you can go home this evening, but if there's nobody else in at your home, it's really just a house. Because it's the relationships we have that build a home. And it's the relationships that we're going to enjoy there that's going to make heaven our eternal home. I find great comfort to look in the Bible and to think about who all is going to be there. The first thing that jumps out at me is that our Bible heroes are going to be there. Matthew 8:11 says, "And many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Sometimes we talk about Old Testament Bible characters, New Testament Bible characters, especially when we're teaching kids, that we really employ that method of teaching to talk about the great characters of the Bible. But sometimes, maybe by the time we're adults, we've heard those stories so many times that they kind of just seem like maybe they're just made up imaginary characters in children's stories. So I'm comforted to read a verse like Matthew 8:11 to know that these are real people. They're real historical people. They live this life just like you and me. They suffered the same things that you and I have to go through. It says many will come. That's you and I. We're going to get to be there with them. You know, you really think about it. Think about how amazing it's going to be to see our Bible heroes there. Somebody told me tonight to preach like Peter. And I was just thinking how amazing it's going to be to get to heaven to ask Peter, what was it like on Pentecost to stand up and preach the gospel and see nearly 3,000 people obey the gospel? If you've suffered through anything in this world, you probably admire Paul. What's it going to be like to ask Paul, how in the world did you go through all of that and keep on preaching? Think about Hebrews 11. Sometimes we call that the hall of faith. You've got all of these people mentioned there from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to Sarah to Samuel and on and on and on. You've got all of these amazing Bible heroes that we've always admired and studied about. When we get to heaven, think about walking down the street and saying, well, there's Abraham's house and Jacob, that's his house. Old Samuel the prophet, he lives down there at the end of the street of gold. That's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome to see those great Bible heroes walking down the street and saying, there's old Fred Porter, or there's Chuck Wortman's house. People that were the great heroes of this lifetime. You know, that's comforting to think about the Bible heroes being there, but it's even more comforting to think about meeting our loved ones there. It's so comforting to think about meeting our loved ones who have died faithfully in the Lord in heaven. I believe there's several scriptures that tell us we're going to know one another in heaven. In 2 Samuel 12, when David's child died, he said, I can't bring him back to me, but I can go to him. Here in Matthew 8:11, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, there's still Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in heaven. Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was still Lazarus on the other side of the grave. So I find great comfort to know that I'm going to get to see my loved ones there who have gone on before, who have died faithfully in the Lord. When I think about my loved ones who have gone on, when you think about your loved ones, when you think about seeing them in heaven, there's probably not a passage of Scripture that's more comforting than 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. It says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Here it is. And then we who are alive, who are left, here it is. We will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, notice this one. Therefore, encourage, comfort one another with these words, that you may not grieve as others do without hope. He isn't saying that we're not going to be sad when we lose a loved one, but he is saying it's not the final goodbye. We have hope. If you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, then it's not hard at all to believe that he's going to be able to reunite us with the ones that we love in heaven. We're going to be caught up together with them. The grave's not the end of man. We're going to see them again. Encourage one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. I find great comfort in this scripture. I find great comfort knowing I'm going to see my loved ones again, because this wouldn't be comforting if I was just going to see a bunch of strangers. But as much as we love our family and friends who have gone on before, the greatest reason why everybody should want to go to heaven is because the Lord is there. At some point in the last year, I've changed my way of thinking. I told you a year ago, I said, I want us to go to heaven, I just don't want us to go now. And at some point in the last few months, it's gotten to the point where I'm ready for us to go. If the Lord chooses to come back tonight, I'm ready. Our family's ready to go. When I have that thought, sometimes I sort of think, well, shame on me for not feeling that way before. Because God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they were already there in heaven. Shame on me for not already wanting to be there with them. See, nobody loves me like God loves me. My family loves me a lot. I love my family. I love those who have already gone on before. But nobody loves me like God loves me. Nobody loves you like God loves you. That's the greatest reason why we want to go to heaven. You think about this earth, the greatest thing you can be on this earth is a child of God. It doesn't matter what titles you have in front of your name, what achievements, what plaques, what degrees. I was in a little competition yesterday, and the winner's got a little tiny trophy with a little bicycle man on top. And I want to get me one of those little trophies. I'm going to get me one of those little trophies at some point. Chris Webb got one, and I'm a little jealous. But you know, all of those things are going to be burned up. What really matters in this life is that you're a child of God. Revelation 21, verse 3. The greatest reason why everybody wants to go to heaven is because that's where God's going to dwell with His children. Everybody wants to go to heaven because it's going to be paradise restored, along with our loved ones who have gone on, along with our friends and the great Bible heroes and all who die faithfully in the Lord. We're going to get to see God face to face. We're going to get to walk with Him and talk with Him. I want to go to heaven. Do you want to go to heaven? Maybe the question is not so much if the Lord returns tonight, are we ready to go to heaven? Because we don't know when He's going to come back. Maybe the question is more, what if the world keeps spinning after tonight, but what if your world doesn't keep spinning? If you die tonight, will your soul go to heaven or will you go to hell? Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but through me. We got to go through Jesus to get to God in heaven. How do we get in Jesus? Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We have to obey the gospel in order to get into Christ, in order to one day spend eternity in heaven. There might be some here. I know there's some here tonight who've not yet obeyed the gospel. Do you want to go to heaven? If you believe that Jesus is God's Son, if you're willing to repent of your sins, confess Him, confess, I believe that Jesus is God's Son, then you can be washed. And such were some of you, but you can be washed tonight. And there might be some who have even since turned away. going back into one of those categories that's not going to be in heaven. Man, I love you. This congregation's loved me so much. I really want to see every one of us in heaven. Maybe some need to repent publicly. Maybe some need to repent privately this evening. Maybe some are just struggling and hurting and need to be prayed with and loved. If there's any way we can help you tonight, we invite you to respond to the Lord's invitation. Won't you come right now as we stand to sing the song of encouragement?